Good morning. I love baby and child dedications. I love it. I love when parents just are serious and want to lean into raising their kids. That was beautiful. Beautiful worship. Thank you to our worship team. Let's give it up to our worship team one more time. Leading us into God's presence. So, again, my name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here. If you're new here or a visitor, haven't been here in a while, I'm the new campus pastor. But it is a joy to be with you. I hope that you're and trust that your Thanksgiving was a blessing, and you were lots of food, lots of family, lots of fellowship. You got a little nap in. Did you get a nap in? Some of you did. Some of you are like, I'm very tired still. I get it. So, but hey, would you pray with me real quick? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for just a beautiful morning of worship so far. Lord, I thank you for communion as a reminder of your great love to us as God the Father and the sacrificing of your Son. Thank you for the Walker family today. I just thank you for Sophia and Kennedy, Lord. I just pray that you would bless them. And Lord, in these next few moments, help us to stay focused and stay locked in to your word and what you have for us. I pray your Holy Spirit is already here, would fall fresh upon us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Can you say the word courage? Courage. Say it again. Courage. Courage. That's what we're talking about today is courage. I want to talk about courage, what that looks like, what it means in the context of the word of the Lord. And I want to start by a few quotes, some of my favorite theologians, if you will. The first one is C.S. Lewis in his book, The Screwtape Letters. Even if you're not a reader, listen to it in an audible book, it's good. He said this on courage. Courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at its testing point. And so in other words, that courage, when it all comes down to it, all the virtues that we have, all those attributes of God that we read about in Scripture, it takes courage at that moment of the stress that we come up against, those troubles and those storms. That's going to take courage to keep pressing through and moving forward. How about this one? The Reverend Billy Graham said this, courage is contagious. When a brave man or woman takes a stand, the spines of others often stiffened. And so have you ever been around someone that has just tremendous courage? You're just near them and they're inspiring to you. You know, when I'm around Pastor Gary, my spine stiffens up. Like, the man is he's a man of courage. What he does, all the things that he does. I heard what he did over this past Thanksgiving weekend. Courage, brother, courage. And so when you're around those people, you see those people, they inspire you. Like, man, there's something about that man or there's something about that woman that's contagious. And I'm not talking sickness or germs. I'm talking about courage or the way they live out their faith. Amen. Have you have those people in your life? And so that's what we're looking at. And then I have one more theologian, the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, he has his MDiv. Courage. What makes a king out of a slave? That's right. What makes the flag on the mast stand to wave? What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? That's right. What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? What makes the dawn come up like thunder? What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricot? What do they got that I ain't got? That's right, you can say that again. And so, yes, the great theologian, the Cowardly Lion, right? So if you think about that, if you've seen the Cowardly Lion, I know Wicked's in theaters, but that was the OG, that was the original story, and I remember that as a kid, like he was really fired up, but he's talking about something he doesn't possess, courage. Have you ever found yourself in your life needing courage? Like you're facing a storm, you're facing a troublesome situation. Maybe a relationship that you're in right now isn't going the way it should. Maybe your relationship with your kids isn't where it needs to be. Or maybe, just maybe, your faith, right, isn't a point of testing and God saying, dear loved one, take courage. Maybe that's you this morning. I want to speak into that as we look at what God's word has for us. And so when we think about courage, courage is that thing that when you're afraid to do it, you do it anyway. You step out in faith and boldness, and you do it anyway. That's what courage is. And when we look at what the meaning is, it's the ability to do something that frightens us. It's the ability to do something that frightens us. And you think of all the different things that you've done in your lifetime, or maybe even this weekend. You know, I think of right away when I was a kid, to pass the swimming test, I had to swim across the pool. I had to jump and dive off the low dive. Then, to pass my test, I had to climb up the high dive, jump off the high dive, just jump. I didn't do any of those crazy dives. I was a little guy. I had to jump off the high dive, go into the deep water, and then swim to the ladder. And I can tell you that my little, like, seven-year-old knees or however old I was were knocking because I took courage and I did it anyway, right? I jumped out. Maybe some of you can remember a time in your life where you had to have courage. Can you think of that? Maybe this morning God is saying, dear one, I see what you're going through. Take courage. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning is courage. And courage, the original meaning, it means courage or core, meaning heart. It's something that we do out of the heart, that it's defining, that's motivated from, that we step out in action and in faith and even in fear, but we do it out of the heart. That you're taking courage and you're doing it out of the heart because you have to. You know, when it comes to my family, I'm going to have the courage to do anything in the face of fear, even if I don't want to. I'm going to have courage to do that. And so maybe that's what we need to hear this morning. But biblical courage, what does that look like? What is biblical courage? What does that look like? And so the Bible has a lot of different examples for us. As we open the pages of Scripture, we look at all the Bible stories that you may know. And a lot of them had courage. And so when you're looking, you're like, you can't find anybody in your own life. I want you to go to the pages of Scripture and look what God's people did in the pages of Scripture. In the book of Psalms 27, it says, the hearts of the believer were shown good courage as they waited patiently on the Lord. He said to them, to be brave and courageous, wait patiently for me. And sometimes, like I know as a man, that I want to try to fix things and I want things to get done immediately, get her done. Like, I want to do that. And sometimes God's saying, hey, slow down, pump the brakes, wait on me. And can I just say that it takes courage to do that? And so many times we're ready just pushing ahead and like a bull in a china shop and just mauling things over and we're going to get it done and we don't care what happens. But God's saying, maybe slow down a little bit and see what I have to say in the waiting. Maybe you find yourself here this morning that God has you in the waiting. He says, I want to speak to you in that. Maybe you're in a waiting spot. And the waiting, like when I go to the doctors and I have to sit there and I arrive like 15 to 30 minutes early and I wait for 2 hours to see my doctor, it tests my patience, right? When you're in traffic, tunnels and bridges, whoo, yeah, it tests your. So maybe that even in that moment, just in those daily moments, God's saying, hey, would you just wait on me? Would you seek me out in these circumstances and look to me? How about this one? When we think about biblical courage, God inspires us to encourage one another. That you're using your story that you're going through right now or have gone through, but you're encouraging one another to go through that. Hey, this is what I did. Or you're just not even saying words, you're just being present with them. So you're called to be courageous in terms of encouraging somebody. Is there someone in your life that God has there that he wants you to encourage? Maybe it's through words. Maybe it's through a card. Maybe it's through the gift of presence. I'm not talking about wrapped things. I'm talking about you, your being, just sitting there. You know, when I have things I need to talk about, I can go to Doug Shear, and he can just give me the gift of presence and just listen. It's comforting. It's encouraging. So maybe that's what God is calling us to do. In the Bible it says this in Hebrews 10:24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And so that's what a kind of like a biblical courage can look like, to encourage one another. How about this one? When we have courage, it's pleasing to God. It's pleasing to God. When he sees that, he says, hey, I see that in you. I see the courage that it takes. Just that a few seconds of courage can go a long way, can it? In the book of Joshua, the epitome, maybe so more than anybody, maybe David in facing Goliath, but in Joshua 10:25, don't ever be afraid or discouraged, Joshua told his men. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you. I'm going to do all this in front of your enemies. And so good courage is still being strong and courageous and standing in there and hanging in there a little bit longer. So courage is also this. Courage, biblical courage is this. It's relying on God and not ourselves. Biblical courage is relying on God's strength and not our own strength. Again, we can get in the way sometimes. I can do this. I can do this in my own strength. But here's what God is saying. He's like, I want you, I'm putting you in this situation right now so that you would rely on me. Are you in a situation right now where God wants you to rely on him? Think about that. What you're facing right now is God saying, I want you to rely on me. I don't want you to do it in your own strength. Right now, I want you to rely on me and learn in that situation. Maybe that's what God is saying. Good courage is relying on God. Bad courage is relying on our own abilities. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And so oftentimes when we rely on some people, they might have good intentions, but we rely on ourselves sometimes, it's going to lead us astray, and the Bible says even to death. Are we relying on God or are we relying on ourselves? And it takes courage in all of this. And so the reality is this, is that this morning I want to encourage you as believers, as someone that might not know Jesus as well, to take that step of faith, to have courage, to look to God, whatever storm, whatever situation, whatever pain, whatever relationship needs mended, I want you to have courage. As you face, or as we just got through Thanksgiving a couple days ago, as we're going into the holiday Christmas season, that can even be hard for people, can it? It's harder on some people. So I want you to think about courage. What does it mean for me as a believer, a son, a daughter? Or do I even have courage at all? What does that mean for me to have courage truly in the face of what I'm going through right now? What does that look like? And so there's the reality is this, is that the tension is that when we become Christians or we say we're walking with the Lord, we think that when we say that prayer, we say the little prayer, we cross the bridge, that we think that life is going to be smooth sailing, don't we? If you tell someone that, you're misleading them. Because it's the best way to follow Jesus, but it's not the easiest way. It's the best way, but not the easiest way. And so it's important for you and I to say, hey, when you become a Christian, buckle up. Take that step of courage and walk in there. He's going to test you through those things. That's what he wants. And so what I've come, here's our big idea for today. And that when we're going through these different things, when we're going through courage, when we're going through this testing, as we read our Bibles, we discover there are two kinds of storms that we go through in our lives. Storms of correction and storms of perfection. Two kinds of storms that we kind of go through in our lives as believers or even as individuals who might not know Jesus, that he pulls us through. Storms of correction and protection. The first one is this, is that as we understand that the Christian faith isn't just always smooth sailing. And if that's you, God bless you. I want to rub up against you, get some of that blessing. But for the most part, there's other people I want to rub up against, like your faith inspires me. Your faith encourages me to do that. Storms of correction, what are those? Storms of correction are when God disciplines us. When God the Father disciplines us, I'll be the first to say, I don't like, how much discipline do I really need, God? Can you give me a break? You ever feel like that? But storms of correction that we find ourselves taking that step of faith, we find ourselves in life, but then we find ourselves in a storm and says, God brings up this storm of correction. He's trying to correct us and discipline us from maybe some bad thinking, maybe some from lifestyle choices, maybe from neglect, whatever that is. You don't think that he does these storms of correction. I give you Jonah. Jonah in the whale, the big fish, whatever it was. Jonah had some terrible thinking, and God kind of put that to get his attention, corrected him, to get him back to go to the people that he called him to. But sometimes there's storms of correction that help us. When we're disobedient to God, he wants to bring us into obedience. And sometimes that's going to take correction. Then there are storms of perfection. Storms of perfection. That's when you're walking with the Lord. You're up here singing. You're working with their kids. And then all of a sudden, there's this storm that happens. And then there's this storm of perfection. It doesn't mean perfect. It means to be like Jesus. So he wants to make you more like Jesus and less like yourself. And often that's the tension. That's where Christians get caught up in, right? That troubles us. Why is God putting me in this storm in the first place? I don't need a storm. I don't need to be perfected. Well, we do. Jesus said himself, in this life you have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And so he wants to correct us to make us more like him. I don't know about you, but like when I'm in these storms, and I see my faith and my response in those storms, oftentimes it's not what Christ calls me to be. It's quite the opposite. It's one of the cowardly lion. It's a grump. It's someone that just backs away. And so when you're in those, I want to encourage you, when you're in a storm of perfection, you're being matured and molded to look more like Jesus and less like yourself. And those are tough, but that's what God calls us to. He wants us to go through these storms of correction and storms of perfection. Many of us, when we look at our lives, we think of the storms, our pain, our situations, and we're saying, God, what are you trying to speak through me? What are you trying to speak to me or in me? What are you trying to do through me? And so there's a great story where, you know, you think about how Jesus picked this handful of underdogs, these disciples. He picked these guys. They were underdogs. Everybody likes a good underdog person, right? A good story of redemption. And he says, I want to use these guys and I'm going to do things for them. But as he picks each of these underdogs, these disciples, and he demonstrates ministry, and he's at the height of his ministry of this passage we're going to look at today, he's demonstrating to them, is like, you're going to face different storms that are coming up into your life. What are you going to look like? And so I love an underdog. I love the story of the 1980s Olympic team versus Russia. They beat those guys. I love the movie Rudy. How many like the movie Rudy? How many of you think he was offsides? Okay, Ben, thank you. Sam, thank you. And then we have this is really another story of an underdog, a franchise that was just terrible until 1972. There was a game in December 12th, 1972. They were an underdog to the Raiders, and they came back with this immaculate reception and turned. They didn't win the Super Bowl that year, and the Dolphins did, but it was a mark of correction and perfection in their lives. So I love the story of underdog. But as Jesus took these underdogs and these disciples, he tried to demonstrate what it meant to have faith. He tried to demonstrate to them what it meant to have hope, what it meant to perform miracles. He did miracles in front of them. But he said, to follow me, it's going to take risk. And when you follow Jesus, it takes a risk to do that. They risked everything to follow him. Think about the disciples, these underdogs. They risked their reputation. They risked their means. Some of them left their business as a fisherman, a tax collector, so on and so forth. They risked everything to follow Jesus, and so they stepped out to follow him. That took courage. And I want to encourage you to follow Jesus today, to risk what it looks like to the world, your reputation. It takes courage to do that. In the face of your problems, it takes courage to do that. And when we do that, we demonstrate courage time and time again. It becomes a habit. It becomes a spiritual muscle that we're exercising. And it turns into faith, and it turns into obedience, and then it turns to honoring God. And that's what we're called to do, is to honor God in the face of our storms. And so he uses underdogs like me. He uses underdogs like you to accomplish this in the here and now, as he did with the disciples back then. And so for them, he was calling his disciples in the face of Roman persecution, in the face of first century Judaism, he was calling them to step out and to follow him. And so here's where we are. We are in Matthew chapter 14, courage in the face of doubt. And I want to read this first and then unpack it for you. And so it says this in Matthew 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted or battered by the waves because the wind was against it. So here's the scene. There he's with his disciples. He went up on the mountainside. They're on the boat. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They're in the Galilee region. And as they're in this situation, the waves begin to kick up and the boat begins to rock. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went to them, out to them, walking on the lake. Now, verse 25, we could just read over that real quick, but that's a miracle, folks. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake, walking on water. He walked on water. He saw his disciples, these underdogs in distress, and he went to them. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. Ooh, they said. They cried out in fear. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Okay, let's pause here. 28 is a verse of courage. He always gets his chops busted. Oh, he took his eyes off. He had courage. He was the first one to have courage to step out. Would you have done that? I know I wouldn't have. There's no way I'm getting out of that boat. I don't know what's in it. It's murky water. That freaks me out. Yeah. Verse 29, come, Jesus said. He said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, Peter got out of the boat. He's walking to Jesus, and he saw the wind. That would be the coolest. I can't even imagine. He got down out of the boat, but he began to see and feel the wind and the waves crash around him. And he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me, which is the right response. 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? In the verse 32, when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and then those who were there in the boat worshiped him. That's the proper response. Truly, you are the Son of God. And so here we have this situation. This is the height of Jesus' ministry career. He's done amazing things. He's fed the 5,000. He's healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. He gave sight to the blind. He's done all of these things. And the disciples saw all this. And then as soon as this storm happens, what was their reaction? They became afraid to the storm that was happening around them. Jesus wasn't with them literally, physically at that moment. And so they began to have fear. The political culture in this time, they were looking for some type of a political messiah to deliver them from the persecution of the Romans. And that's what they were looking toward Jesus for. That was wrong thinking. Right? And so Jesus has come as this other type of messiah to perform miracles, to save people, to save the lost, to demonstrate what it looks like to be someone who's walking in the ways of God. And so Jesus sees his disciples battered in this little boat by the waves, and he goes to them, and he intercedes on his behalf of his disciples. He sees what they're going through and says, I love you, I care for you. And so what I love in this is also in Mark 6, we see in the Gospel of Mark where this is also there, it says that when Jesus saw them, they were straining their oars. When you're in a frightful situation, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get out of it as quick as you can. You're trying to get to the land. And so they were straining the oars, and they were probably throwing their back out and all this other stuff. They were trying to get out of that situation. They're straining in their life to get out of that situation. So this is truly a story of courage. It's a story of faith. It's a story of hope. But here's my points. Jesus sees us just as he saw his disciples. He sees you in your little boat right now on the storm what you're facing. He sees you. You are not alone in your struggles. You are not by yourself. He sees you what you're going through. He said immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat, and he went ahead of them. He went to them, right? He sees that they were struggling. He went to them. And so as he was going to them, he's interceding on his behalf. Many of us think that God is distant. God is far away. He doesn't care. That I felt like my prayers have bounced off the ceiling. That's what this comes down to. That Jesus isn't distant. Jesus is with us. Jesus cares. He sees us, and he comes to us. He says, I am there with you. And so sometimes there are storms that Jesus uses to get our attention. How are we going to respond to that storm in our lives? That's what he wanted to see with the disciples. There's a storm that happens. How will these 12 underdogs respond? Will they have courage? Will they be discouraged? Will they have faith? Will they have just a lack of faith? How are they going to respond? And so Jesus sees them struggling. And I just want to say this, that when we're going through those storms are going to reveal what's inside of us. Those storms and those situations you're in right now, they're going to reveal what's inside of you. And so if your faith, you need to have more faith. And what is that? What does more faith look like? It's just simply surrendering your life. That's all it is. It's just surrendering your life, repenting of the stuff you can, and saying, God, I need you. And so God wants to come to you. And so Jesus goes to them. He sees them struggling. And I want to ask you this, when you're going through this, here's two questions you can ask when you're going through that storm. What did you learn about yourself in that storm? What are you learning about yourself right now in the midst of your storm? What are you understanding about yourself? Maybe God is revealing something new that you've never saw about yourself or thought about yourself. How about this question? What did God show you about himself in that storm? That situation you're going through, did God reveal himself to you? Did he show you a different kind of a angle of who he was? And so as we go through this, there's this maturity level that we're moving toward. We're called up and in to God. How about this? The second one is this, that Jesus comes to us. He sees us in our boats, and then he comes to us. He literally comes to us, that we're not by ourselves. He comes to us. The prophet Malachi says this, that God is the refiner and purifies the silver. And so as we think about who God is and what he's like, he's constantly refining us, and he uses those storms. But he sees us. He comes to us, and he wants us to be more like him. When a silver refiner knows that the silver is pure, so you take a lump of silver and you're purifying it, and then he's purifying the silver and he's burning it and heating it up, and it's in the furnace. It isn't until that refiner sees his face or his own reflection in that silver does he know that silver is ready, that's pure. When we are being purified, when we're going through those two different types of storms, it's where God wants to see himself in your character and who you are. You know, I there's often times when I demonstrate to my family that am I being in the furnace or going through the storm, do they see Jesus in me? Or do they see somebody else? And the reality is this, that God wants us to have his reflection on our, not our own. That's the truth, and that's a tough thing. And so as we're going through this, how can we reflect God's glory? So as we go through these storms, we're reflecting God's reflection back to the people. What's your situation? You're reflecting people in your workplace, reflecting God back to others in the workplace, at your home, at school for students, and in your family. There's a lot of family time right now. You know, I hope that you're reflecting back to them, Jesus. Point three is that when we see Jesus in these storms, and Jesus rescues us, he doesn't leave us in the boat or the situation that we're currently in to die, to sink to the bottom, but he rescues us. Jesus rescues us right where we are. He begins to rescue us and come forward and says, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to walk on the water. And Peter gets down out of the boat and he comes to them. But as soon as Peter begins to take his eyes off Jesus, what does Jesus do? Does he rebuke him? Does he shake his head? He did it again. What does he do? He reaches out his hand and he pulls him up. And then he offers correction, right? He offers care first, and then he offers correction. And I love that about who God is. Hebrews 12, 2 through 3 says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Right now, whatever you're facing, whatever storm, whatever situation, are you truly looking to God in that situation? Or are you looking elsewhere? Are you looking to other people? Are you looking to Facebook? Are you trying to YouTube the answer? Are you truly fixing your eyes on Jesus? Peter did not begin to sink. And when he took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he began to sink. That's when he began to fall away. I would say this, is that many times when people fall away, it's because they're not fixed on Christ. That their relationships are not fixed on Christ. That their time, talent, and treasure is not fixed on Christ. It's elsewhere. And so God is saying, listen, dear one, fix your eyes on me. When you're doing that, when you're focused on him, you're going to be able to finish well. I ran track, you can't tell by all this, but way back when I ran track, and all I know is that when I ran track, when I was on the relay, I'd have to put my hand behind me, they would do the baton, but if I turned my head to the left or right, I could swerve, I could get out of the lanes, I could fall. Right, Coach Paul, this is, okay, thank you. It's tough. He's a college cross country coach, so he's done some running. But if I take my eyes off of like the finish line or look elsewhere, I'm gonna crash or fall. The same is true. That's what Peter did. That's what we can do. Is if we're taking our eyes off Christ, we're gonna have a bad finish, right? The reality is this: is that we're gonna have doubts. Is that okay? Yes, you're gonna have doubts. That's okay, but you can't stay there. Right? You need to give those to God. You need to repent of those. You need to fix your eyes back on him. Start again. Get up. Here's the great thing. It says this, that Jesus rescues us. That he put his hand out to Peter as he began to sink. He put his hand out to Peter and lifted him up. If he does that for Peter, he's doing that for you. Do you see that? Whatever you're going through right now, you might feel like you're sinking and barely keeping your head above water. Listen. God sent his one and only son to reach out his hand and pull you out from sin and suffering, all that. He wants you to have a victorious life. He wants you to get through that storm. He wants to help you become more like his son and less like yourselves. Often that hurts. But that's the truth. That's what God wants for us. And so listen, don't ever doubt that Jesus has come to rescue you. Look to that cross, right? That was one of the instruments that God used as a reminder that he loves you with an everlasting love and he will rescue you wherever you are. Grace and freedom and mercy and love are available because of what Jesus did. I love his response, Jesus' response to Peter. He says, to fix your eyes, lock on to me. If I could share this, Luke, I'm going to anyway. When Luke was a little boy, I would tell him, or read him Bible stories or tell stories, do the same with Emma. And I would tell him the story about Jesus and Peter. When I said, and Peter took his eyes off Jesus. Luke said to me, Peter took his eyes off? I'm like, no. No, he just looked away, right? And so listen, if you're looking away, focus on Jesus. Lock onto him. Lock onto him. He's the one that loves you. Lock onto the cross. Whatever you're facing right now, whatever you're dealing with, a physical ailment, a relationship struggle, one of your kids is far. Maybe you don't even know Jesus. Listen, look to Jesus. He is the answer. He is your hope. He is the one that's going to rescue you. He's going to give you hope. He's going to give you life, and he's going to give you victory. Reach out to him. Take his hand. Get into the boat. I love that. I love that time that we see this. So Jesus sees us. He sees us where we are. He is not distant. He comes to us. He comes to us right where we are. He wants us to follow him, the underdogs that we are. You don't have to have it all together. That's the great thing, that you can come as you are, and then he'll take you where you need to be, and that he rescues us from sin and suffering and all those things we go through. And so maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you need to get out of the boat. Maybe you've been walking with Christ for a long time. You're just white-knuckling like I probably would have. I'm not getting out of that boat. I'm not getting out of that boat. Maybe you need to get out of the boat this morning and take a step of faith in your storm toward Jesus. Maybe some of you need to fix your eyes back onto Jesus, who's reaching out his hand, his arms wide open, and said, come to me. And maybe for the first time, maybe some of you need to understand who this Jesus is and wants a relationship with you, and that the hope that is offered to you, maybe that's you this morning. And so there's just some takeaways. I just want you to spend time in prayer. What are some things you can do that are courageous? Spend time in prayer. Truly spend time in prayer. You can pray wherever you are, in your head, in the car, in the shower, whatever it is, but truly spend time in prayer with the Lord. As Jesus went away to pray by himself, if Jesus needed to do that, we need to do that. So I want you to encourage as a believers is to have that mindset that we can't do anything away from God. We need his Holy Spirit. So spend time in his presence, seeking his will for your life. How about this? Taking courage, embracing what God has for you. Don't cower back. Don't be like the cowardly lion, if you will. But take that step of obedience. Even when you don't want to go, or even if you're afraid, take that step of faith. Have that courage, true biblical courage. And here's what you look at. You look to Jesus. You don't look at other people. Don't even look at me. Look to Jesus, right? Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on him. Oftentimes we close our eyes to focus on him. But remember, when Peter began to sink, when his life began to be in danger, it's when he took his eyes off Jesus. I want to encourage you, wherever you're at this morning, whatever storm you find yourself, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He is your hope. There is life. There is victory in Jesus. And I know you know this, but I'm encouraging you and I'm going to remind you anyway. Look to Jesus. There's an image Joel's going to put up here on the screen for you. I have this picture in my office. It's by a wonderful artist named Young Sung Kim called The Hand of God. How many of you have ever seen this image before? But in my office, this was given to me when I was a senior pastor in my last church. I was going through some trouble, some family things, and my faith was being tested, and I was in a storm of correction and perfection. And one of my friends gave me this picture. It's in my office. I could show it to you in person. But he says, Pastor Ben, I want to give you this as a reminder that God sees you. His hand is there to lift you up. And you can see that that's truly a Middle Eastern Jesus. You can see the sunshine breaking, which means the storm has stopped. You can see the little boat behind his one shoulder, but that hand poking through. offering hope, offering life in the midst of storms. Look to that image right now as we're wrapping up here. Maybe this morning you're going through a storm. Maybe you're going through something. I want you to see Jesus like this, reaching down, giving you hope. I'm there for you. You're not by yourself. You're not going to die. Don't give up. Take courage. It's I. He's reaching down his hand right now, right now. And he wants you to have courage to step out and trust him. Live your life for him and in honor of him. He's reaching out his hand. Take my hand. Don't doubt. Don't doubt what you're going through. Don't doubt me, but have faith that I can do what I say I'm going to do. That he reaches out his hand for us this morning. So I want to invite you to stand. And maybe there's some of you here this morning that need to hear this. That courage that you need, just that more courage that you don't have right now, that I don't have it in me. Well, here's the thing. God can do it. He's already done it. There's a demonstration example. He's giving you that courage to come forward. And so, Father, I just want to close your eyes, bow your head. Father, I just want to pray for everybody right now. First, I want to pray for those that have been walking with you for many years, but lately have felt like their faith, through whatever it is, the storms of life, the wind around them, the problems, that they've taken their eyes off you. Lord, will you just help them to focus on you? Will you help them to take your hand and pull them up from where they are? Would you give them your hope? Would you give them life? Would you give them victory right now? Would you help them to rededicate their life right now and say, no more. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you. I'm going to take your hand. Would you, if you want to rededicate your life this morning, I just want to raise your hand. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to take your hand. Just raise your hand real high. Have the courage. Have courage right now in this moment. I see those hands. So, Father, I pray a blessing upon those that are raising their hand right now, and even those that aren't raising their hand, that they would right now rededicate their lives, and they would take that courageous, audacious step forward and reach out for your hand. So, Father, I pray for those right now. You can put your hands down. Maybe some of you are here for the first time. You've never known this Jesus that would do something like this. And then maybe you would like to have Jesus be the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future, and you'd like to have a relationship with him. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to say a prayer with you. Someone's going to pray with you. Right here, we have a hand. Response team right there. Anybody else that you'd like to know this Jesus for the first time? I see that hand. We just pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you this morning for this dear saint that wants to know you, that wants to find that freedom, that has that courage to raise her hand. So, Father, I pray a blessing upon her, Lord, that she realizes that she's someone that's in need of hope, that's fallen short of you. And so, Father, I help her to believe in you with all that she has, Lord, that she would cross that bridge, that she would take her hand, Lord, and lead her into a life, a meaningful life with purpose and victory and freedom. Father, help her to commit her ways this morning, right, Lord? I just pray that your Holy Spirit would fill her right now, that you'd bless this young lady to walk all the days of her life with you. Lord, that you'd have that courage, and that you'd give her your spirit right now. So, Father, we just give you praise today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Hey, let's give Pastor Ben a hand clap. What a great message. A fantastic message to hear on a Sunday morning, and that image that's up on the